Grace and peace to you from God, who is our Father and our Mother, and in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Today we hear again the story of Jesus calling the first disciples, this time reading from the book of Matthew. So last week we focused on that dialogue between Jesus and the disciples of John who were coming to speak to him. But today there is no dialogue. What is striking today is that Jesus says so few words. Follow me, and I will make you fish for people. And the four fishermen, Simon and Andrew, James and John, immediately leave their nets and their family and follow. What is it in that encounter that makes them decide to just follow Jesus then and there? And what is it in our own lives that has made us decide to follow Jesus? First, we'll look more closely at the gospel text. It is the arrest of John the Baptist that spurs Jesus into motion and seems to be the beginning of his public ministry in this gospel. He moves from Nazareth up to Capernaum on the north side of the Sea of Galilee and begins to preach, and he's preaching in the same way that John the Baptist, right? Repent, turn back to God. And he says, the kingdom of God, the reign of God has come near. Then he is walking by the Sea of Galilee, and he issues that strange invitation to the fishermen that he encounters there. The truth is that we really don't know why they decide to follow. The story doesn't really tell us about that. Perhaps they had heard about Jesus preaching. They knew something about John the Baptist and were intrigued and decided to follow. Or perhaps something so compelling in the person of Jesus, some charisma that just caused them to stop and follow. But that's not really what Matthew's concerned about here. But we can connect this invitation to follow with Jesus preaching about repentance. That when the disciples choose to follow Jesus, they are taking that turn toward God with their whole lives, throwing it all in to follow Jesus, to dedicate their lives to this relationship with God. Now, when Jesus is saying that the kingdom of God has come near, he is saying that something new is happening in the world, right? The reign of God, or God's very presence in the world, has come, perhaps in the very person of Jesus himself. And he is inviting these first disciples, but it will become so many more, to be participants in God's work, in that reign of God, that activity of God in the world. And so these first disciples follow him and they join in his work as he goes about teaching in the synagogues and telling people about what God is doing and the work of healing and caring for people. One colleague this week commented that Matthew is the one who gives us the wonderful name for God, Emmanuel, God with us. So I love that when Jesus comes to the disciples at their workplace, God is not just in the temple, just in the church. God is Emmanuel with us everywhere. And God comes to us specifically wherever we happen to be in our mundane daily lives. Which brings me to the question, how has God called us to follow? Where and how has God shown up in our daily lives, perhaps mundane, perhaps extraordinary, and caused us to turn toward God, to commit ourselves to follow Jesus? Now, some perhaps have dramatic stories of coming to faith, moments of sudden encounters with God that changed everything. Yesterday I didn't believe, but today I believe. Or yesterday God didn't really matter that much to me, but today God is everything to me. For others, for many of us lifelong Christians raised in the faith, our stories may feel less dramatic and perhaps less important. We too have experienced God's calling us back, but we don't have some dramatic conversion. In a video that I watched that you may see a little bit of later this week, a speaker referred to it and said, some people have a microwave flash in the pan story, something big and dramatic, while others have this crock pot. And I love that image. Crockpot faith, everything just thrown in together and stewing there slowly and blending into something new and tasty. We encounter God in scripture, in nature, in music, in prayer and worship. And I think perhaps maybe most significantly, we often encounter God in interactions with people who remind us who God is for us and what God does for us. So I read a story this week, and I will tell you that I had fallen down an internet rabbit hole, and this story was on an evangelical site that I would not recommend, but I really liked this one story because it talked about how our ordinary daily interactions with people might make a difference we never see. So here is Louise's story. I grew up in Housing Commission Place in Western Sydney. It was pretty rough. My dad worked night shifts, so we didn't see him very much, but we were all close to my mother. After school, I started a degree in literature, which I enjoyed very much, but at the beginning of my second year, I got a call from a paramedic. He said my mother had died. It was sudden and horrific. She'd had an asthma attack at home. My father and brother, who was 15, and sister, who was 12, were there when it happened. It was an incredibly difficult time. I quit my uni degree. I couldn't even pay for my mom's funeral. I got a full-time job, and I became responsible for everything in the home, cooking, cleaning, shopping, paying bills, supervising homework. I was barely an adult myself. My dad wasn't coping at all. There was no one to talk to. After 12 months, I was in a really bad place. I remember waking up and thinking, if God isn't real, I am not sure there's any purpose to this or any hope at all. Some years earlier, we'd had Christian neighbors. They would often be out front when we were coming in or going out. Their mom would deliberately connect with us and share her faith in Jesus. She'd even taken us to her church a couple times, but they moved out just after Mom died, and I didn't know where they were. I wanted to talk to her, but I had no way of getting in contact. So I decided to give her old church a call. I explained over the phone that my mom had died, and I was very depressed. I said, "I think I need Jesus." The person said, "Come down here right now." So I did. I met with a youth leader who was fantastic. She sat me down and listened to me. I was able to talk for the first time. Within a few weeks, I decided to become a Christian. It was mostly because I realized that God was there in the midst of all of it. I went home and told my family. I said the gospel made sense to me. I said that my faith in Jesus had made a big difference to me, and I encouraged them to come to church. My dad and brother also became Christians within the year. It wasn't magical or overnight, but things definitely changed for us. Life was still hard, but there was meaning and purpose. And so I wonder, what are our stories? What are our stories of faith, those people who have shown up in our lives? What has made a difference to us in our life of faith? In a few minutes, during our offertory time, we're going to watch a video from Luther Seminary called Faith Out Loud. Some members of the seminary community sharing a story of how did you come to faith? And spoiler alert, these are Lutherans who have very similar faith stories to mine, kind of that crock pot faith, but they tell about the different experiences of how, although one of them actually grew up Jewish. She's an Old Testament professor at Luther and converted later, and so she tells a little of that story. So we're sharing those stories, and then I would encourage you, and this is the third time this year we've done it, I would encourage you when you come and gather for coffee hour today that you consider one of those stories in your own life and share it with the people at your table. What is something in your life that has called you back to follow Jesus? How did you come to faith, or how did you come back when you had wandered, or just what calls you day to day to follow Jesus? So for myself, I am definitely one of those lifelong crockpot Christians, you know, cradle Lutheran. I'm having a hard time with this guy today. So when I asked myself this week, what has called me to faith in Jesus in the face of struggles and doubts, I immediately thought of two things recent in my faith journey. One is when I attended Luther Seminary, a class at Luther Seminary in 2020 in January, and was part of the Master of Divinity X class, which is kind of an accelerated Master of Divinity course for people who plan to be pastors. And I met all of these fantastic, amazing young people training to be pastors. And alongside that, there's my experience at Rainbow Trail, Rowan, with us today at Rainbow Trail, where every summer I just meet, you know, 50 to 70 young adults who are on fire for Jesus. Some of them will go into professional ministry, many of them won't, but it just gives me hope that whatever our church looks like, and it's not gonna look in 50 years like it looks now, but there's gonna be a group of faithful people following Jesus because God is active in the world and all of these young people are just on fire with their faith. So for me, that is always such just that moment of hope and hopefulness whenever I get to go up to Rainbow Trail and hang out with those amazing young people and see their witness to faith. And it is also the witness of this community in our asylum seeker welcome and in our work of advocacy. Let me tell you, when I'm working with people with asylum seeker welcome, and I'll say, you know, I'm the pastor at All Saints, they'll say, oh, that's an amazing church. There's a lot of people involved. And I'm like, yeah, it is an amazing church. You're right. That's my people. And when we get on advocacy calls, like one that we had yesterday, a number of people just interested in advocacy, what's coming up in this legislative session, how might we be involved with Lutheran advocacy ministry, but also other calls throughout the year, Bread for the World and, you know, other calls, you know, things which now on Zoom, right? And there'll be one or two people from a whole bunch of congregations, and then from All Saints, we'll have like five or six people on the call. And again, I think, you know, this is a congregation that is committed not only to that hospitality and caring for folks, not only to providing food for people who are hungry, which we do, but also to saying, how can we make systems that help people stay out of poverty, that help bring out of poverty the 25% of New Mexican children who live in poverty, and make sure that every household has food, right? There are things we can do for that, and the legislature is a place to do that. So I guess what I'm saying is, y'all call me to deeper faithfulness again and again with your witness. And I hope and trust that you do so for one another as well. We are on this journey together. When we share our stories of faith, of who God is to us and what difference God makes in our lives anyway, it enables us to proclaim that good news. The reign of God has come near. In the person of Jesus, God is with us. So thanks be to God for our stories and for this community of faith. May we share both openly and freely with one another and with those who are not yet here. Amen. Amen.